Today, I want to kind of talk with you a little bit, but I want to set a stage, and it's going to take a little while for me to get through this, because if you don't understand the history of this text, then you miss everything. So I'm going to go through this, and you're going to be thinking, okay, the ministers forgot to read the scripture, but I have it. But I'm going to get to that. But we're going to get there by looking at the history of what was taking place in the time. Now, if you go back into the time when Amos was around, you're going to see that what was taking place was in 760 B.C., during the time of Jeroboam II and the king Uzziah. On the surface, everything in Israel looked very, very strong. So we look at the picture. If we were looking at that today, we would think, well, that's a great country. I mean, things are going on. The economy is booming. We'd be looking at how all of the trade was expanding from that nation outward. We'd be looking at the military and all of its might and its power. And we would be saying, wow, they are really strong. We look at the religious system, and we'll be looking at it and thinking, wow, the religion is very active. This nation truly looks like it's blessed. But I don't want you to be deceived this morning, because underneath all of that facade, it was rotting away. You see, there was corruption in its courts. The poor were being exploited. Worship had become hollowed out. I mean, it was just going through the motion. You know, I'm not saying nobody does it here, but sometimes in life you just go through the motion. You just go through the motion just to get by and go on to the next day. They were just going through the motion of what it meant to be religious. People were honoring God with their rituals, but deep down, deep in their soul, their heart had walked away from God. Now, this condition didn't happen overnight. They just didn't wake up and there they were. This happened over a whole generation after generation after generation. It was a generational drift. And I want us to understand that this morning, because generations can drift away from God and not even realize it. But that's what was happening. From the very beginning, God had established a covenant with his people, and God had certain expectations with them. We can see that in the book of Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy, that God had made a special covenant with his people. And it went something like this: blessings for obedience and judgment for rebellion. So Israel could not say that they did not know. There's no excuse for Israel, because Israel knew what the standard of God was. So in their mind, they were very clear about that. But then as the time began to roll on, and another generation after another generation after another generation rolled through, we see what the scriptures begin to reveal to us, something totally different. It begins to say everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Do you hear that? They did what was right in their own eyes. Let me say it a different way. Let's just say I decided my ethics are the important ones. Let's just say my generation decided we got it all figured out. So we just take all of the stuff here that we got on the faith, and we just pour it into the blender of our own ethics, and we turn on that blender, and we're really throwing in all the stuff that we think is important, and we're getting that smoothie all juiced up, and we drink it, and we tell everybody else that's the right way. And then the next generation comes along and says, oh, no, 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 no. That's not the way it was. It's by my ethics. It's by my culture. It's by my standards. So they pinch off a little bit of God, and they throw it in the blender, and they turn it on, and here we go again. Generation after generation after generation did that very same thing. And when you get in biblical history and you get past that period of the judges, became that period when everybody was crying out to God, we got to have a king, we got to have a king, we got to have somebody to lead us. Well, isn't that what God was doing? God was their leader, but now they got to have a human leader. So they appointed Saul. And Saul started out pretty good, but then he decided you only had to be partially obedient to God's ways. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see how the generations after generation after generation, now we don't have to obey God. We can just partially obey God. And then as the history continued on, then we know that King Saul came on board. And through King Saul, there was a spiritual renewal. There was a great time of renewal. But we know in the end that David wasn't perfect either. He had his own flaws and his own mistakes. And then Solomon. When Solomon came to leader, all of the great things was happening in the life of Solomon. The nation was flourishing. It had riches beyond the wildest imagination. And Solomon began to lose sight of what it was to love God. And Solomon began to reach out and to begin to secure his foundations with all these other countries. He reached out to them. He brought in their queens and he married them. And he brought in all of their foreign influence. And he brought in all of their rituals. And he brought in all of their gods, and he stuck them into the blender and turned it on, and he drank it down and said, look at me, I'm a holy man before God. Do you know what happened? Shortly after that, the kingdom of God was divided. Israel to the north, Judah to the south. And after Solomon came his son, Jeroboam the first. And guess what Jeroboam did? He no longer even saw God anymore. He began to build the golden calves and the golden temples. And he began to worship other gods. He began to worship other ways. What he did was he created an alternative worship to God. You see, he didn't reject God outright. He just simply redefined it. He just redefined it in his own image, in his own way, in his own blender, in his own ethics. Does that sound familiar today to you? Does that sound familiar? That other places, other times, other things are making claims upon your life that have nothing to do with God. So generation after generation after generation, this went on and on and on and on till finally it was institutionalized in the life of the people. And by the time Ahab came along and Jezebel, idolatry wasn't even thought about. It was just something you participated in. It was just another place to go worship. And you could go down the street to this idolatry. You could go down there on this one. And everybody thought it was okay because now the nation had institutionalized and it had gotten to the point where they were running down the prophets to persecute them and to kill them. Now, in Amos's day, during this time period when Amos came on the scene, the wealthy was unjust, the religious system was corrupt. They thought they were secure because they were wealthy. They thought they were secure, but inside, spiritually, they were dead. And the deepest danger of it all was that they did not even realize the extent of their life. They were spiritually dead, and they thought they were alive. I want to introduce the scripture to you today because during this time, they had assumed their prosperity. They had assumed their prosperity meant 100% of God's approval over their life. And that's not right. And it's not right for us today to assume that either. We live in one of the greatest and most prosperous nations on the earth. We can't assume that God is approving of everything that we're doing in our life and what you're doing in yours and I'm doing in mine. We cannot assume that because we have to be measured by something. And that's where Amos comes in. I want to read to you now the scripture that Amos shares with us today. It's found in chapter 7. And it's found in verse 7 through 8. And he said, he showed me, behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line and with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line down into the midst of my people Israel. What I want you to look at next is this image right here. This is the plumb line falling from the kingdom of God down from heaven, down into the midst of the people. It is falling down into the midst of the nation of Israel. It is falling down, down, so that they can be measured by God's standard. Now, I want you to understand, you see this plumb line that God is holding in his hand? That's a very powerful, but very simple image. It does not bend. It's not going to readjust. It just reveals what is straight and what is crooked. It does not bend. It does not adjust. And it does not adjust itself, it just stays straight. Now, when God dropped that plumb line down into the midst of his people, there are three things that go along with that plumb line, that forms that plumb line. One is creation, the other is covenant, and the other is Christ. You have the creation because creation, in creation, God has always had a standard. I mean, we think it's not like it just came yesterday. It's always been there, but God has always had a standard. And in covenant, God has always had a plan for his people. And in Christ, God has always been making a way. So I want us to go to creation. In the beginning, God had a perfect design. It was God's design. He made the whole world. He gave us all of our physics. He gave humanity. He brought humanity into the world. He brought everything into existence. And in the scriptures, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and he saw that all things are good. So God is the creator. He's not evolving with the culture of the day. He's not adjusting to what society thinks. He is the eternal standard and the only standard. The Bible says that he created humanity in his own image. You were not an accident. When you hear that, you have to know that if the Creator brought you into existence, the Creator created you for something unique, something in your life. You have a purpose. You have a place. You have an identity with God. But we see that humanity was created upright, and in the beginning, it was aligned with his creator. In the Garden of Eden, that plumb line was straight and all was well. There was no shame. There was no division. There was no corruption. Man walked with God. But then sin entered the world. I thought about that, and I said it last part of our service. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of influencers, right? There's an influencer for TikTok. There's an influencer for the internet. There's an influencer for social media. There's an influencer down the street. There's institutional influencers. Everybody's trying to influence your life. And right here we see at the very beginning of God's creation, the devil came as an influencer and he brought sin into the world. The reason I say that to you in that way is influencers may be taking you and your very soul away from that plumb line of God. So what we begin to see is that sin entered the world through rebellion, and what God had made straight, sin now made crooked. And all of a sudden, God looked at us and we're no longer in alignment. Sin had bent us out of alignment. And from that day forward, humanity was measured against God's standard, and we were found wanting because we were not any longer tied to the plumb line. So I want to say this. If creation shows us where we should be, then the covenant of God shows us how God has responded to what we became. You see, during the time of Amos, they were oppressing the poor. They were corrupted in their justice, but they had mixed the truth. The truth is God's word with the culture. I want to share with you a little bit about that. That's the time period we live. See it every day. I got books on the shelves in my library that said this, this, and this, and this is not according to the law of God. And then people today say, oh yeah, it's a norm. This is the norm. Because every generation runs that risk. Every generation runs the risk of taking what you want from the Bible, taking what you want from God, and taking what you want to be the way it is that's going to fit your lifestyle, your image, your culture, your place in society, and we just slam it all together, stick it into that blender, and we make our own individual little juicy to drink. And then we sit around and say, I'm okay, you're okay. That does not mean we're on the plumb line of God. Israel had lost its covenant faithfulness to God. It no longer cared. It just wanted to go on with the way that they were living. Now, the plumb line through the law of God showed us where the line was, but it could not, the law of God could not move you physically to that line. So the covenant declared that God is righteous, man is sinful, and there's a gap in between. So in this transition, I want you to think about that if creation was God's design, and if the covenant was God's demand on how we ought to live, then Christ becomes the answer. And if you don't remember anything else, Christ is the only answer. It's not culture. It's not the internet. It's not your social influencer. Christ is your only answer. You see, the gospel declares that the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Jesus just didn't come to teach us morality. He came to fulfill the righteousness of God. And where Adam failed and Jesus succeeded, where Israel rebelled, Christ obeyed. And where humanity was crooked, Christ stands perfectly straight. You see, Jesus is the plumb line. He fulfilled the law of God completely. He embodied the righteousness of God perfectly, and he revealed the character of God perfectly. And then something happened that was so miraculous. because God was here and we were here, but through the cross of Jesus Christ, when they nailed Jesus on the cross and they pulled him up and they thought it was finished and it was all over. What they did not understand is the very foundation of the earth that God had made, that his son was position between heaven and earth, and with the nails in his hands and his feet, and the blood of the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God is now dropping to the earth that God made. I don't know about you, but that's profound. Because Jesus then is standing on the plumb line of God. He is fulfilling the mandate of God. He is coming to bridge the gap. We don't have to be out there all alone anymore. We don't have to be bent. We don't have to be crooked. We don't have to be lost. Christ can bridge the gap and bring us to the plumb line. Because creation was restored that day, covenant was fulfilled, sin was judged, and the mercy of God fell from heaven on every one who will accept it. No longer was the blood of the bull and the goats, no longer was that needed there on to sacrifice for sin, because the sin was given and placed upon the life of Christ. You see, Jesus just didn't meet the standard. He was the standard. He was the standard. The plumb line of God never moved. Not since the foundation of the earth. The plumb line never, ever moved. It was the people who had left God. But through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, we have the good news of the gospel, because the plumb line is still there. God has not lowered his standards. God has not moved. He didn't come toward us. He offered Jesus Christ as a bridge to come back to his kingdom, as a place to come back. And if you came in here today and you were bent in your life and you were broken and you were far away from God and you're looking at your life and you don't even recognize what's going on anymore, then you have hope, because Jesus Christ died for our sin. He is the bridge that we can walk over to come back into alignment with God. You see, the question today for all of us, it's not whether society has moved away from God, because we know the answer to that. But the good news is that God is still here. The plumb line is still in our midst. We are still there. God is calling us home through Christ. So I want you to take a good look at this picture for a second this morning. I want you to take a good look at this picture as the plumb line of God hangs down. It's hanging there for you. It's hanging there for me. We don't have to guess anymore where we're at. Because if we're not on the plumb line, then we're just not there. God, through Jesus Christ, awaits your decision. God, through Jesus Christ, waits for your decision. Will you stand with him on the plumb line? He awaits your answer. Amen.